And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
No, no, I'm okay. No, 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 no. No, no, no. 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 I'm okay. I'm okay. No.
Ore no na wa Don Quixote Doflamingo.
Good morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Monday, December 18th, 2023. I'm J.E. Skeets here in the Classic Factory, and alongside me, as always, Tass Mellis.
If I had my eyes closed, I would have thought that was Russell Peters.
Next to him, it's the bearded one, Matasha Hotboy, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o!
Hey-o! And over yonder, the man making the magic happen, super producer, J.D.
Hello.
There he is, and here we are. What a cold open to start the show. Mm. Shout out to the stream team for joining us live right now on YouTube. Take a second, smash that like button, and subscribe. And everybody tell Leo to go fuck himself. Grumpy Leo.
Grumpy Goman.
Podcast listeners, this is also for you. Leave us a 5-star rating and review. We'd really appreciate it. And if you're still looking for the perfect gift, why not share The Athletic with family and friends with a 1-year and 2-year subscription gift plans. You can just hit that link that we've included in the show notes. It'll take you right to the gift card page. And that'd be a nice little, last second sort of stocking stuffer.
You could do that Christmas morning if you wanted to. You wouldn't get the card, probably.
You wouldn't get the card, but you would get access to The Athletic.
Drop a code in there.
There's nothing better than a gift during the holidays that you can actually use right away.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, straight up.
Although a video game was always the best.
Just fuck, video game is the best.
Yeah, because you're killing all day.
You don't want a surfboard.
Exactly.
Unless you live in Hawaii. Then that's what you're asking for.
That's a good point. Also go to nodunks.com if you're looking for gift ideas. All of the No Dunks merch over there. Okay. It's winners and losers of the NBA weekend. There's a whole lot to tackle here. Tass, get us started. Your big winner of the weekend.
I'm going to start with the Golden State Warriors. They won 2 games. They won at home and then on the road back-to-back. But I'm going to start with a point because they're doing things a little bit differently. Remember Steph's pregame routine where he'd go into the tunnel and throw it up and it'd hit a shot. He doesn't do that anymore. He gets out of there. And people were in Golden State to go see that routine. Let's go see it pregame. He was already out. He was already done. He wanted to get his warm-up done because he wanted to get mentally and physically ready in this new era here without Draymond. People are questioning Steph and whether or not he's leading enough. Well, he's doing that. He just had a lot of conversations with Draymond Green, who reportedly here by The Athletic will be out in an additional 3 weeks. So it's going to take about 12 games for him to come back. And then against the Brooklyn Nets, he had himself a great game. Like always, the Golden State Warriors gave up a huge lead. That's what they're doing right now. They gave up an 18-point lead, and then Steph in the fourth quarter was plucked off the bench earlier by Steve Kerr, and he hit 2 big threes, and he said, "Timeout, Nets, you guys have to take a timeout. I need a quick rest." But he hit 2 big threes, 16 points in that fourth. So they took care of business. And then against Portland, he missed all his threes.
Yeah.
No!
First time in a long time.
Yeah. 268 consecutive games. That streak is over.
Wow. Where he'd hit a three. Jeez.
Yeah, that's a consecutive record. I don't know if anyone's ever going to touch that.
He will.
He'll do it again?
Probably.
Probably not.
You know, it's like now, seasons. But doesn't he have the second longest streak ever?
So.
Like 150 plus games?
So he's good.
Yeah.
Anyway, they had a 22-point lead. Again, they lost that lead.
Yep.
Came down to the wire. Brandon Podziemski, who's starting for Andrew Wiggins, he drew a charge like he always does. He's doing a really good job. Game-sealing charge. 1 second left, down one. Shaden Sharp going in. And Podziemski took it. His 11th of the season. That means he's fourth in charges. The thing I love about Brandon Podziemski, he plays hard. But what I love about Brandon Podziemski, he makes hook shots. This guy is 6'4". goes into the lane and hits hook shots. The smallest guy in the NBA hitting hook shots. And it's not like he's in the post. Oh, I'm just going to oversize you. He does it off the bounce, gets to like the free throw line or even out further, and he hits it most of the time. Sometimes he does it with his right hand. He hits it with his left hand. That's his strong hand. But this weekend he hit a nice one. Anyway, that's why I like him. That's different. That's different. Guard, rookie, making hook shots.
He reminds me of Delonte West, the way he plays. Handles the ball, plays off the ball, great connector. Also, the fact that he's left-handed and wears a headband probably factors into it. But he's been really good since coming in to the starting lineup. I don't know if you can have a dagger charge, but that's what it felt like against Portland.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good call. He's starting for Wiggins. And Wiggins, for the first time, had a 25-point game off the bench against Portland. So he looked better. And then post-game press conference, he says, listen, if I'm going to be a better player, I got to kick the habits. I got to be better. So it's a good sign. Good sign for Steph doing what he does. Although they got to play Boston on Tuesday, so that's going to be a tough one. Mm-hmm. This is a different era. Klay is feeling better as well. 30, 24, and 28 in his last three. So the Warriors won, even though they gave up two big leads like they always do.
I think you had the Warriors as a loser of the weekend. Last weekend.
Well, the Dray so situation. Here we go.
Turning around. Things change quickly in the NBA. Big wins, you know, especially with Curry not carrying you to that second one, and they still pulled it out, getting some contributions from some other guys. Mm-hmm. All right, Warriors as a winner of the weekend. Who you got, TK?
Do you think Steph Curry's going to go back to his original pregame routine?
I don't think
so. He had two like, he had an awesome fourth quarter against Brooklyn, but he kind of struggled through the first three, and then he had, 7 points against Portland? I think switch back.
Yeah, good call.
As for me, winner of the weekend, it's a begrudging, heart-wrenching winner of the weekend to Jimmy effing Butler. This guy, man. Beat the Bulls Saturday night with a buzzer-beating game winner. And Skeets, I was doing my part.
It was
a close game. I was D'ing up. I was stanced up here. But it did not matter. I said to my mom, Jimmy Butler, this guy's too good. And then he drains it to beat the Bulls. This was a four-star game. Bulls trailed by 11 heading into the fourth quarter. Kobe White had his worst three quarters of the past couple of weeks, but caught fire in the fourth, scored 18 points on four threes. I think he scored 10 points in about 80 seconds or something like that. Brought the Bulls back into the game. This was a one-possession game for the final 6.5 minutes, but the Bulls weren't playing the heat. On Saturday night, they were playing the hardest, working, best-conditioned, most professional, unselfish, toughest, meanest, nastiest team in the NBA. And what does that mean? In the final 3 minutes, Miami grabbed offensive rebounds on four straight possessions. They scored on three of them. Those are like the most demoralizing possessions when you think you gotta stop. And then they score just like that on the other end. Defensively, Miami really amped up the pressure. They amped up the double teams, got the ball out of Kobe's hands, really sped up DeMar. He had a couple of weird plays in the final minute of this one. And then Vooch on the final offensive possession for the Bulls. He traveled. It didn't get called. You saw it in the last 2 minutes report. Should have been called. He hurried a lefty hook going to the rim. It squirts off to the right side. Jimmy Butler grabs the board, brings it over. I got down on my stance, but it was Jover. Mm-hmm. Third buzzer beater of Jimmy Butler's career. It's the end of December, and this guy still wants to work hard and be the man. You got to salute him.
Were you shuffling your feet when you were in your defensive stance, or did you just stand there?
I just stand
there. Leaving your problem. You should have been going back and forth.
That was exactly the problem, but I was a little too close to the Christmas tree. Didn't want to knock down the chips ornament.
Fair enough. What a shot from Jimmy, and the scream, which we've made the thumbnail here this morning for the NBA weekend winners and losers.
Got to a spot.
Yeah.
That seemed a little too easy for him, especially because they had timeouts, and Eric Spoelstra said, we ain't calling it.
We know what we're going to run.
And it was a tie, so like if they miss, we're going to overtime.
Yes. Right. That's it was cool to see Jimmy. That also cool to see Jaime Jaquez do his thing off the bounce. He looks good when he's running plays. It's heat culture, baby. Sometimes.
NBA weekend winner to the Philadelphia 76ers point differential. They ran their winning streak, the Sixers did, to 6 games over the weekend. They blew out the Pistons by 32 points on Friday night, and then they beat the Hornets by 53 on Saturday. The Sixers have won 3 games by at least 40 points this season. That ties them with the NBA record for most 40-point wins in a single season. I mean, a bunch of teams share this record, but it's December 18th. Mm-hmm. Santa hasn't even, like, started packing yet. All right, he's thinking about it, but he hasn't put anything in the sled yet. So they're probably going to do this because they just love kicking the snot out of bad teams. And Embiid specifically. Yes. Maxie, of course, gets his. I mean, it just balloons in a hurry. And, they're just dominating. Over the last 6 games, the Sixers have a point differential of plus 164, which is one of the all-time marks over a six-game span. It's like a Lakers 70s team and a Lakers 80s team. The Suns once did it, and then this team here in Philadelphia. At Trillbro Dude, big Sixers fan, he shared the best NBA team net ratings of all time. Oh, I see some MJ Bulls teams down there, and oh yeah, right now the Sixers would be on this short list. Now again, it's only December 18th. I highly doubt it remains this high at around 12 there, but pretty good company there when you're looking at those squads. They're just kicking the crap out of teams and are obviously one of the better teams in the league.
And I think every team on that list won the championship except for the 2016 Spurs, and isn't that when Kawhi Leonard got hurt against the Warriors, right, with Zaza Pachulia. Yep. I mean, those are like some of the best teams in literally NBA history. And what Embiid is doing right now is honestly insane. He's averaging the most points per 100 possessions in NBA history. He's played 746 minutes this season, and he's scored 752 points. Only Wilt Chamberlain, in the season where he scored 100 points, has had more points than minutes played for a season. Also, Embiid has only played 13 fourth quarters this season, and he's still leading the league in scoring, despite missing 12 minutes where he could obviously be packing on the points. They've played Detroit three times, Washington three times, Atlanta, Indiana, and Portland twice.
Yes.
So the schedule has been easy, but they see an easy game out there, and Embiid lights them up.
Yeah. I was going to say the Embiid sitting out fourth quarters, that's the old Steph Curry MVP playbook there, where you just hammer teams so much that you don't even need to play those final 12 minutes. Rest the legs.
Good stat breakdown there, because he misses the fourth quarters, and they lose games. That's why I was surprised to see that they're that far ahead, because they're 18-7. So I just didn't think that they would be up there. We're talking about 72-10 Bulls were right beside them right there, that they're going to celebrate real soon. Steve Kerr is going to get to celebrate the 72 Temple, the Ring of the Honor being celebrated in Chicago.
I mixed up my years. That was not the year that Kawhi Leonard got hurt in the playoffs against the Warriors.
16 conference finals?
I don't know what year it was, but it wasn't that year.
Okay.
Because he played, maybe it was, maybe I misread my stats. Anyways, the Warriors were 73-9 that season, remember. They were a very good team.
Yeah, I just said 72-10. It's great to correct people's mistakes. Great to correct them.
No, that's what I'm saying, that 16 season for the where the Spurs were on that list, the Warriors were.
They were good. They lost to the Cavs. It's okay. We got
7 years ago, man. I can't remember that long. I still think Jrue Holiday plays for the Bucks. What an idiot.
Don't worry. Our memory's better when it comes to NBA knowledge than it is Survivor contestants. We were just talking about, like, as soon as that season's over, we don't know half the cast. We're like, huh? Who was in the final? I forget.
Yeah.
Like, 1 week later. Yeah.
It was 2017, Kawhi.
There we go.
16-17, Zaza.
There we go.
That's the worst thing about the NBA.
Too many seasons.
That spans across two seasons. That's the worst thing.
Yeah, exactly right.
It can get confusing, right? I mean, that graph showed 15-16 Spurs, but you guys said it was 16-17. It's part of the same calendar year for a little bit, but anyway.
This is the first year Kawhi's been healthy since 17. This year. He's played in every game.
Let's do another round.
Yeah, let's do it.
Who you got for another winner?
I'm going with the Boston Celtics. They got two wins this weekend, both over the Orlando Magic. They're 14-0 at home. That's the second best start in the history of their team at home. The first time since 1957-58, Bill Russell's Celtics started 17-0 at home. So they are kicking ass. Two great games for Boston, especially Friday. It was a back-to-back third game in four nights. But they sat their bigs, Kristaps Porzingis and Al Horford. They said, okay, these guys need to take a break. We've got to get a little rest in here, Kawhi-like rest. So you think their small front line would be hammered by Orlando and a great defensive team. But this was a blowout for the Celtics, who started a 6'6 Lamar Stevens at center, former Cav doing his thing, and Namish Keita with three blocks, their only seven-footer coming off the bench. That was a blowout. Tatum had 30. Sunday, it was the Jaylen Brown show, which was really good. I thought probably the best few minutes of Jaylen Brown's career. Starting the fourth quarter, he was getting everything done offensively. He's getting picks set up for him, so he saw Cole Anthony on him. Okay, I'll take you down low. Then he hit a three over Cole Anthony. Then he hit threes over Franz Wagner, who was the guy guarding him. He was being doubled, and he decided, all right, here, Tatum. Here, Sam Hauser, you go do your thing. So he had great assists. He had 17 of his 31 in the fourth quarter. The Celtics just hit so many threes, and it was good for them because Orlando was throwing the zone at him, which is bound to happen against Boston, but they're doing a very good job of breaking it down. And Orlando only shot 38% in that game. So It was a good game from Paolo Banchero, even though he got blocked by Tatum, a little dookie-dookie in the fourth quarter there. But Banchero had 36 points. But those were two hammer jobs for the Boston Celtics against the Orlando Magic, although the Magic did beat them earlier in an in-season tournament game this season. 14-0 was a great start for the Celtics at home, obviously.
Jaylen Brown with a massive dunk. I guess it was on Anthony Black there. He is an awesome in-game dunker because it's ferocious, and he's obviously super athletic. Great weekend from the Celtics, So you said Tuesday night?
Tuesday night against Celtics? The Warriors, okay.
It's probably got to be a – I assume that's on TNT.
They're going to be in Golden State for that one. But, yeah, they are just – there's a little words here and there. Jaylen Brown just talking about being more serious at home, just getting things done like Bill Russell did back in the 1950s. So it's helping there, helping just how they handle things at home, I think.
TK, who else you got?
I got a winner of the weekend to Jalen Brunson, career-high 50 points in a win against the Suns on Friday. First half, nothing special. 15 points on 5 of 11 shooting, 5 assists, 4 steals. Nice. But it wasn't anything like his second half. Literally couldn't miss. 35 points on 12 of 12 from the field. 8 of 8 from 3, though he did miss some free throws, which is kind of funny. First 50 piece of Brunson's career, but I'm also giving a winner to Julius Randle because as soon as the buzzer sounded, he ran over to Archie Diakono, stole the ball from him, and then held it over his head until he could find Jalen Brunson to present him with the game ball for his career high. Post game, Randle told reporters, "To be completely honest, I never cared about the game ball. But after Giannis, now I do. I don't trust Ryan with the game ball," Randle said. "They might look at him and think, we can take that. I had to make sure I got it, and I secured it. I hope this becomes a thing.
Yeah,
every time
too.
Somebody gets their career high, a fight over the game ball, and this one, they can be absolutely sure that it was the correct game ball because we witnessed the chain of command the entire time. But Jalen Brunson said, "I'm giving it to my dad. I'm not even going to keep it in my house.
This one's going to Rick."
Yep, and that just kind of proves the point. It's more exciting for parents to see their kids succeed than for the kid to actually succeed. But 50 points, 6 rebounds, 9 assists, 5 steals for Brunson. First Nick ever with 50 points, 5 assists, and 5 steals in a game. Finished 9 of 9 from threes, tying who for the most threes in a game without a miss?
Allen Hughes. Oh, just Knicks or just anyone?
NBA players ever.
Oh, wow, that's good.
He's the third guy to go 9 for 9 from 3 in a game.
Perfect.
Yep.
JR?
Smith. No, not bad, though. This one of the fellas was a Nick when he did it.
He was a Nick?
Yeah.
Sprewell.
That's right.
Yeah.
You don't think of him as a shooter, but 2003 went 9 for 9. The other guy got incandescently hot a couple of different times, and it was fun to watch when he was on a heater. Absolutely.
What, give us an era. Like
he did it twice. Once in 2006 and then a throwback game in 2012 as well. You're like, what? He still got it?
Peja?
Nope. Nope. He was a Bull one time and a Detroit Piston the other time.
Jamal Crawford? No.
Nope.
No. Piston.
Not Allen Houston. That's too...
that would be weird.
Allen Houston.
That's way later.
Nick, though.
Yeah.
It's Ben Gordon.
Oh,
Benny.
You know what? Oh, my God. I wanted to say Kobe White, and I'm like, I know that's not right, but I kept thinking it was someone like him.
Similar kind of guy. Yeah.
Oh, man, I should have just said it anyway. Maybe we would have got there quicker. Okay.
Yeah, wow, Brunson's at 25 points, 4 rebounds, 6 assists so far this season. He's shooting 47 from the field, fine, but 46 from 3. Like, this guy is a knockdown 3-point shooter right now.
Yeah.
He's going to make the All-Star team.
Yeah.
It was a question mark last season between Randle and Brunson. It ended up going to Randle. But I think Brunson's the man this year.
Yeah.
Archie is not making the All-Star game. Ryan Archie Diakono. He just went and – Julius Randle just went and stole it from Archie.
Didn't Giannis have, like, another game ball incident because he just set the Bucks like, all-time rebounding record? And there was like, some hilarity of getting the ball again. Yeah, this is turning into a thing. All right, well, sticking with the three-pointers, let me give a winner of the weekend to Keegan Murray. I mean, my God. He hit 11 straight threes. A record in a 47-point outing over the weekend. He finished with 12 made threes versus the Jazz. He did a good job defensively, too. I keep bringing that up, but he's really getting better as a defensive player. The 12 threes were too shy of the league mark for most in a game set by Klay Thompson in 2018. Did you see that clip of Curry finding out that Keegan Murray was like on fire, like hitting a bunch of threes, and they're telling him, and he's like, how many is he at? What's he at? And they're talking him through it. So the King shot 22 of 45 from deep. It's the third time Sacramento has made at least 20 threes in a game. They're one of the best teams when it comes to three-pointers made per game and percentages. I think only the Mavs and Celtics maybe make more per game. But Keegan Murray, what a what an outing. No Fox in this one, and he just catches fire. And there's something there. I don't care who it is or which teams you cheer for. When a guy catches fire from three in an NBA game, and it's like, when will he miss? Because you know another one's going up. You're just feeding the hot hand. And as the as it just grows and grows and grows, you know, the play starts going more and more bonkers. Keegan gets a winner of the weekend, no doubt.
Too much space for Keeg. When I find out that somebody goes on a streak, I go watch every single one of their threes. And just like we'll get to Devin Vassell a little later, too much space. Too much space. So wide open
Make
threes.
Him do something else, yes.
Yeah, this guy can hit. This guy can get scorching hot, obviously.
Couple other mini winners of the weekend. Dylan Brooks getting his revenge game win against Memphis. He followed it up by getting kicked out of the next game he played in. Yeah, so
classic Dylan Brooks weekend.
What a weekend for Dylan the villain. But he scored a team-high 26 points against Memphis, played a team-high 40 minutes, and you know he was getting into it with Desmond Bane, and he hits the huge shot that iced the game. He's screaming at the crowd, "That's why they paid me $4 for $80 million." He's just living his best life. And you know, I saw Kelly Eco of The Athletic write, Brooks' departure from Memphis had always sort of felt like unfinished business, and I think he compared it to like a nasty divorce. Maybe there was like some closure here, because I think there was some truth to that. The way it all went down, and then maybe the Ja Morant incidents and all that, but look, you know, he was feeling good going in there and reminding them, you let this go. What
and,
a game.
And he had his hair braided into a Houston Rockets logo, and the shot he took that was the dagger. If he took that on the Grizzlies last year, they'd be like, what are you doing, man? What are you doing? What a crazy shot. But it went down. That was awesome. And then, he did get kicked out of the next game against Milwaukee. I guess he got a technical, started complaining. And then the Bucks on the Jumbotron played a clip from Elf where Buddy the Elf says, oh, he's an angry little elf. And then he got another technical. He said, get out of here.
What a weekend. They gave him a video tribute, though.
Yes,
in that first game.
It's pretty good.
It was good.
Yeah.
And that's probably why he hit that three, because I didn't think that three was going down, because that was highly contested by Desmond Bane.
Deep.
That was a deep three. It was a perfect night for him.
Also, winner of the weekend to SGA, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, hit a tough turnaround jumper with about a second left to give OKC the 118-117 victory over the Nuggets on Saturday night. They were down. They're down like by 8 or 9 points, a couple, like 3 minutes to go.
Yep.
Suddenly, you know, take the lead and win this game. I thought the bigger play even for SGA was he straight up yoinked the ball from Michael Porter Jr. with about a minute and a half or maybe a little bit under 2 minutes to go. Like, they were down. That was a huge possession. You know, you're at least hoping for a shot attempt if you're Denver. But he's like, cookies, just took it away from him. And he got a really kind call, SGA did, with like 70 seconds to go. That's when the 70 seconds was left. He attacked Christian Brown. Brown did a good job. Like, I mean, he really, like, didn't touch him. I think the last two-minute report said, oh, we botched that one. It shouldn't have been a foul. But he got to the line, and the Nuggets couldn't challenge it. They had already blown that, already wasted it. So, yeah, they pulled out this victory. It was pretty impressive. Just a really tough turnaround jumper, too. Like, the way he spun there. But that's his spot as well. It's like Jimmy Butler. He gets to that free throw area. It's going in 9 times out of 10, it feels like, when the game's close.
Mid-rangers are big time at the end of a game. But, man, what a game from Chet. 17 points, 11 rebounds, 8 blocks.
That's I had it down as 9. Did they move
I'm seeing an 8 here on Basketball Reference, 9 for the team. Maybe he combined with Isaiah Joe for a block, and they gave it to Isaiah
possible.
Joe. He's got the other one, it says.
Well, I saw the last rookie to record 9 blocks in a game. Here's a little trivia. New York Knick got 9 blocks in a game in 2018.
2018.
Mitch?
Mitch Oromovich. But that was 9. I don't know if Chet got one taken off.
Chet said he would have had 10. I forget what the line was. He said, I would have had 10 blocks, but something happened to
him. Somebody dunked on him? Was that right? Or he was in the picture?
He must have said something about a foul. He made it sound good for him, so I don't think he would have said, I got my ass dunked on. He said something like, there was a foul or something.
Should have had the trip dub, is what he's saying, eh? With the blocks. Always rare. And then let's show some love to the Spurs and Wizards for snapping their crazy losing streaks. They both picked up victories at some point over the weekend, so good for them. We'll get to the Pistons in losers of the weekend. And the Clippers ran their win streak to 7 games. They crushed the Knicks. 144-122. Kawhi continuing to dominate. 36 points, 12 of 16 from the floor. He has scored at least 25 points in each of his last 5 games. He's averaging about 34 points per game over that stretch with shooting splits of 65, 62, and 95 over that span. Those look fake when you're getting into the sixes there for the field goal percentage and the three-point percentage, and then a nice 95 from the line. So, Clips, man, they're staying hot. Anyone else on the winners list?
I thought the Wizards were going to have a winning streak.
Oh, I know.
It was so close, man, but the Suns caught up to them there in the fourth quarter last night. But at least they got a win. And, you know, the Spurs, they weren't really close to having a winning streak. But we got a great meme graphic from Victor Wembanyama saying he's addicted to winning.
Yeah.
He's been addicted to
it. Yeah. So at least they finally have snapped those big, big losing streaks for both of those teams. We got to take a break here, but when we come back, we'll talk about the Pistons and a bunch of other losers from the NBA weekend. Don't go anywhere.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
I gotta get something off my chest. Nothing drives me crazier than sending a message to a group chat and getting no response. That's why I'm a big emoji responder. Love a hang loose hand or a salute, but man, it hurts when you send a message and get nothing back. Ouch! We all carry around different stressors, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. Therapy isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/NoDunks today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/NoDunks. This episode of No Dunks is brought to you by BetterHelp.
Okay, let's get to NBA weekend losers. And I want to peel back the curtain a little bit for you people out there. Over the weekend, we obviously create a doc for the show, Google Docs. Shout out to Google Docs, not an ad. Where we can like keep track of like what's everybody sort of thinking, where are you going? I mean, a lot goes on the NBA weekend, right? You can start to forget what happens on a Friday night.
Absolutely.
Hell, even a Saturday night sometimes if there's a lot of games on Sunday. But somebody in the doc, and I had a good chuckle about this. I was up at the cottage or the cabin, as they call it down here, on the weekend. But I got back on Sunday and I saw written in this Google Doc, Friday, Pistons lose by a million to 76ers. Set franchise record for consecutive losses. I chuckled. I scrolled down a little bit. Saturday, Pistons lose by a million to the Bucks. Set franchise record for consecutive losses. Now, I don't know which one of you two did
you
that.
Do.
I have an idea it was Trey Kirby. Mm-hmm. But I larfed. And I said, you know what? Just give me the Pistons because they're an obvious loser of the weekend. They're up to 23 consecutive losses. The Bucks game, they were down 24 points in the first quarter. I mean, it was over in a hurry. They're just so, so bad. They have now joined the 95-96 Vancouver Grizzlies, the 97-98 Denver Nuggets, and the 2011-12 Charlotte Bobcats in losing 23 straight within the same season. The record, everybody knows this by now, the longest losing streak in the single season, shared by the Cavs, 2010-11, and the 13-14 Sixers, who both dropped 26 consecutive games. So, three games to go to tie this thing. They play tonight here in Atlanta. I almost want to go down see this team in person with my own eyes. Then Detroit goes back home. They host the Jazz on Thursday. I think that could be a big one. They'd be well rested. Jazz are not the best team in the league. Maybe they could finally get a victory. And then if they're still at 25 consecutive losses by then, they're in Brooklyn on Saturday night. Festivus, December 23rd. You want to talk about the potential for airing of grievances. Imagine you rack up your 26th consecutive loss. Goodness. So, for the, I don't know, maybe third or fourth week in a row, the Pistons loser of the weekend.
It's a bummer, man. Like, I don't know. I don't even know what to say. Giannis had his kids on the bench against the Pistons. Like, he was just sitting and chatting with them. I saw James Edwards III, our awesome beat writer for The Athletic for the Pistons. He's got to go to all these games. Oh. It was the first quarter, and he tweeted, go shovel your driveway, even if there's no snow. Saw Damon Ringula tweet over the weekend, a big Lakers fan, formerly of Silver Screen and Roll. Everybody around the league basically has one goal. Don't be the ones to lose to the Pistons.
Yeah, that's what happens here.
They've got winnable games coming up. You're right, Skeets. Like, this is the time. This is the time.
Atlanta, Utah, Brooklyn. Like, I mean,
Celtics tough. Raptors, at least it's a home game. Rockets tough. Oh, Jazz, Warriors, Nuggets, Kings. Oh, Spurs. They play the Spurs in January 10th.
Yeah.
I hope it doesn't last till January. That would be two straight months with no wins.
Yeah.
It went all in November, halfway through December already.
I saw Ghostface Zilla write today in his newsletter that the streak is now all-encompassing around this team, and it feels like it might be breaking containment and could take the sports world by storm. I think that's a good point from Zilla. I feel like it has not yet made its way outside of NBA circles, like to a lot of the, you know, other just maybe casual sports fans or just like as a normal sports news topic. I don't think it's quite there yet, but
not yet.
It's going to be this week, in theory, if they can start to tie the record or even set the record.
Yeah, as soon as they get to the record, because people are following also the Spurs losing streak a little bit.
Yeah, right.
And then they snap theirs, obviously against the Lakers, which was a much better span than this one will be against whoever. The injured Jazz, perhaps. That's a good one. I'm a little surprised because Bogdanović has come back, and he's actually scorching hot. He's going to torch one of these teams. He's actually playing, he's scoring 20, shooting 40% from three. He's going to have a good game. There's going to be a Boyan game. But they got to start Jaden Ivey. That's the weird thing to me. Ivey coming off the bench.
That doesn't matter.
Oh, man.
What, that they'll still be bad?
Yeah, that doesn't matter who they're
starting. Here's what's going to happen tonight, unfortunately. Ivy's isn't winning. Sadiq Bey going to, like, kick their ass?
Yeah, he's probably going to have his second 50-point game of his career tonight.
Yeah, Okay, so Pistons, okay, we can move on. They are the big NBA weekend loser. 23 consecutive games.
Well, that's the thing. Like, you read some of the James Edwards columns, and it's like you're saying, it's kind of breaking containment. Every shot for them, he says, feels like it's a must-make shot, and the pressure right now is just overwhelming these guys who don't have a lot of experience in the league, period, and certainly don't have a lot of experience actually winning games. So maybe Bogey versus Bogey is what gets it done tonight.
Could be. Okay, Trey, who you got for loser of the weekend?
Pacers, loser of the weekend. Yeah. Sadly, they lost to the Wizards and the Timberwolves, both double-digit losses, not really close. They've now lost three straight games. Their only win since losing the IST final was against the Detroit Pistons. But they're getting a loser specifically because they gave up four 30-point games this weekend in just two matchups. Friday against the Wizards, Kuzma had 31, Poole had 30. Saturday against the Timberwolves, Towns 40, and Edwards 37. They've now allowed 26 30-point games this season, and they've only played 24 games plus the IST finals, so 25 total. That's got to be a record. I mean, I don't know how it's going to work out, but if you're giving up more 30-point games than games you've played in a season, that's not good. And the Pacers have got to figure out something defensively. The Kings were able to surprise teams last year and make it into the playoffs, not even just as a play-in team. But I think that the Pacers' defense is even worse than the Kings' defense was last year. They can make up for it with their scoring, certainly. But when they're not hitting well enough, they're going to lose a lot of these games. And, man, it's just so, so easy to score on them. But the silver lining, Oscar Tshiebwe made four baskets this weekend.
Oh, yep. There you go.
Big time.
That's good. And he got the game ball?
I hope so.
Yeah. Okay, good. Good for him. Any thoughts on the Pacers here?
Well, watching the Wolves, that was easy to score against them because they need some help at the power forward spot because Karl-Anthony Towns was just doing whatever he wanted, scoring 40 pretty easily, and Anthony Edwards 37, and Kyle Anderson had 10 assists off the bench. There's some problems there with the defense.
There's no
the
Pacers, resistance.
There is none.
It's like, hey, it's like a pickup game. All right, let's go. Yeah. No D tonight, guys? Yeah, no D. All right, let's go. They just sort of agree on it. Okay, Pacers get a loser. Who you got, Tass?
I have a weird one here. It's the Knicks' Quentin Grimes. Even though they beat the Suns, this is what Phoenix's Kevin Durant had to say about Grimes after the game. Here's the clip.
Like, what's his name? Quentin Grimes, like, he can't get three threes up, almost six threes up. Like, he doesn't dribble at all. He doesn't have any free throws on the season. He doesn't have any assists, I feel like, but he's getting threes up.
Did Damn, oh, Kevin Durant just called him out. Oh, Jesus. That guy can't dribble. That guy can't shoot free throws. That guy doesn't get assists. Well, Mr. KD, he does average one assist per game. That's not a lot. And he has taken five free throws all season. Also not a lot. But Durant just going after
the idea of make him do anything else, though. Which isn't a step into wide open threes.
Which is good advice.
Yes.
Yeah. He can dribble a little bit. Come on now. But yeah, I'm sure that's what they say in their huddles. Right. Don't let that guy shoot threes. Right. And he was pissed. He was shooting multiple threes. Not cool. But
did Quentin Grimes respond? Is there a quote from Grimes?
What did he say?
I'm a little surprised. I'm surprised he didn't make a meme.
I mean, usually reporters love this stuff. It's like catnip, right? They're like, oh, God, I can't wait to get to Quentin Grimes. Fred Katz is going crazy. Catnip. He's going nuts. He's going nuts.
Yeah, Fred Katz loves those questions.
Yeah.
He does.
Yeah.
He does.
And puns. Did you hear what so-and-so? Yes, he does love puns, too. But he loves puns. I didn't see or hear anything.
Yeah, because we had that. He reported on that huge Mitchell Robinson story from last year.
Right.
You know, the whole D on a train situation.
Yep.
Yeah.
Come on, Fred.
Let's go.
Let's get Grimes' response to KD crapping on him there.
It is annoying, though. If you're Kevin Durant, it's like you're playing pickup game and you're like, everybody's yelling, no threes. You're saying no twos, if I'm being honest. You're like, no twos, no twos, no twos. And then a guy named Josh hits a two and you're like, come on, man. We said no twos. This is the NBA equivalent of that, but look. Grimes has gone to the bench, and guess what? It has totally worked. He's been way better off the bench. 10 points per game, shooting 47 from the field, 46 from three, and his usage is better. There's just more shots on the bench when you're playing with the Knicks, and I think DiVincenzo is probably a better starter for them because he doesn't necessarily need the shots that Grimes does, but when it's game point, you better find that guy.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me give a NBA weekend loser to the Phoenix Suns. Mm-hmm. You know, KD, first off, being quite mean. To Quentin Grimes, but for other reasons as well. Bradley Beal injured his right ankle during the first quarter of that game against the Knicks on Friday night. He landed on like the heel/foot of Dante DiVincenzo, who was trying to close out. He was called for a flagrant one. He wasn't, not giving him enough space to land is what they ultimately ruled it. Nurkic was sort of in the way too. There's too many feet by Beal there. And again, he clipped it. And this looks like a decent setback here for a guy that's missed a ton of time with the sore back. Shams reporting that Beal's likely going to miss a few weeks, so we probably won't see him until the new year. Testing showed no major damage to the ankle, but, I mean, it looked bad. He was really grabbing at that thing. So, yeah, you get the Beal injury. We, of course, know that these three guys, the big three, have barely played together. I think it's 24 minutes that they've seen the court together. So he's out. Phoenix won one of their games on the weekend, but it was against the Wizards, and it was pretty rough. I mean, they had to rally from like eight back at the start of the fourth quarter. Really, Booker saved their ass from a very embarrassing loss. They were down eight to start the fourth quarter. They did win by four in the end, but they shot 7 of 31 from deep. They had 17 turnovers. It was not a pretty game from them. They obviously lost to the Knicks in the game before. Just, you know, they came in with high expectations with the addition of Beal to this squad, and they've underperformed to this point. Now, a lot of it is, of course, the guys not playing together, but they're 10th in the West, Phoenix is, 14-12 overall. So I got to give them a loser of the weekend. It wasn't, even though they went 1-1, you lose Beal, and you barely beat the Wiz. Ugh.
Well, they lose Beal, and they just got him back, right? And we talked about when he made his debut against the Nets, like, it doesn't look like they know where to be. And it looked like he was kind of just a bystander there. So they absolutely need reps together with their big three. And now they're going to be behind the eight ball once again. That was one of the concerns with the Suns coming into the season is that Beal has missed a lot of time recently as Booker's been in and out of the lineup. And then we know KD as well. So the injury bug is biting them and they don't necessarily have the depth to back it up. They're going to be completely judged by their playoff success, which is the good thing, I suppose, is that they can maybe stay healthy during the last half of the season and actually build some continuity, but that means they have to stay healthy during the second half of the season, and that was not the case the first quarter.
No, and that's what Durant said after that Knicks game. He was asked, what do you guys need to do? We need to get reps, and this ain't happening. And it is looking a lot like the Kyrie, James Harden, Kevin Durant, Brooklyn Nets, when they only played eight games together. Now, they were good in the playoffs. If Durant doesn't step on the line, if Harden and Kyrie don't get injured, maybe they go to the conference finals. Right. They made it to the second round, but they do need to play together. And Frank Vogel said this is a horrible season for Bradley Beal. That just sucks for him that he's not able to play. But the back is something that has been running for a couple of years here, so he's missed a lot of games.
All right, well, from one injured team to another, maybe they're the Suns of the East, your Cleveland Cavaliers there, Trey.
A little bit, yeah. Friday, we talked about the Cavs struggled this season, and then that afternoon, they got a ton of bad news. Darius Garland and Evan Mobley set to miss a nice chunk of time here, at least a month for both of them. Garland is going to miss at least 4 weeks with a fractured jaw. He ran into Kristaps Porzingis' hip, basically, trying to drive around him. I think Brian Windhorst today was saying that he's having surgery today or tomorrow. And then Evan Mobley is out at least 6 to 8 weeks. He's also having surgery to remove a loose body from his left knee, which more concerning, obviously, than a broken face. A broken face hurts and definitely sucks, but you don't use your face to play basketball all that much. But we're going to be seeing a lot of Caris LeVert, Craig Porter Jr., Isaac Okoro, Dean Wade for the Cavs. They all played pretty well in a streak-busting win against the Hawks on Saturday. But the reason they get a loser is because of what you're seeing already start to pop up. Joe Varden had an article at The Athletic where he mentioned the quick reaction around the NBA was to consider the Cavs basically finished and to start checking on the availability of Donovan Mitchell in a trade. Hoop Collective podcast today started with 30 minutes of should the Cavs trade Donovan Mitchell. This is a team that thought they were trending upwards as a competitive contender in the Eastern Conference, and right now it's basically just seeing, are the Cavs really going to trade Donovan Mitchell this early? They would get the best return they could if they wanted to right now, but also they just made that move. It's like 18 months ago. First season was awesome.
Yeah.
But the way the things are looking, they may get the most for him right now, as you said, because after next year, he could opt out of his player system, his player option. So he's got a year and a half. It's a year and a half rental right here, right now. Okay. Unlike guys that were talking about potentially being traded in a couple months, like OG Anunoby, who's going to be a free agent, was a hot item last year when he was a year and a half from potentially being a free agent like he is now. So, yeah, do you want to go Donovan Mitchell as your number one guy forever and ever and ever? Do you want to sign him to a long-term deal after what happened with the Knicks last year and the way things are looking right now? I think the Cavs are thinking about
it. You think they should?
Yeah, well, it's not working well. But I wonder if they bring in a coach, if they're going to fire Bickerstaff just to see another coach, if he's able to make Donovan Mitchell more of a cog on that team, because Donovan Mitchell's being the number one guy. Not everyone is involved enough offensively. That's 100% true. We saw what happened in the playoffs. Yeah, it doesn't look good. There's no possible way. So I guess that year and a half potential is real. Rather than trading him next year after a year doesn't work, then he's an expiring deal.
Right, he's a rental basically. Yeah, if he opts out. That blew my mind when you said that. Traded from Utah to Cleveland on September 3rd, 2022. It's like,
not that long ago.
No, not that long ago. And yeah, he makes $33 million this year. He makes $35 million and change next year. And then in 25-26, he has the player option for $37 million if he wants to elect to a sort of test free agency there. Yeah, the answer is probably yes. They probably should. If they truly believe, like, what are we doing this year? We're really looking mid, a bunch of mid teams in the Eastern Conference. Yeah, maybe you, like, you know, you're still going to have talented guys in Garland and Jared Allen and Mobley, of course, moving forward. Yeah, you get a young prospect, a pick or two, cash in now on Donovan Mitchell. It's a hell of a pivot from going and trading for him in 2022 to then, you know, maybe as soon as 2024 at the deadline to move him out, but might be good business.
Yeah, the Rudy Gobert deal was basically the exact same time. Same offseason, first season. Didn't look all that great, but the second season has looked incredible. Donovan Mitchell, it's actually reversed. The first season looked pretty good. The first playoffs wasn't all that good.
Yeah, but a 50-win team.
Yeah. And now second year is not so good. While Rudy's is going the other way, they gave up a ton for him.
Right.
So I can understand the logic. We gave up a ton for Donovan Mitchell, but maybe they can get the most back for him right here, right now.
Is there a team that comes to mind that's going to be circling, oh, we can get Donovan Mitchell? Because it's sort of funny, there's a Zach LaVine that possibly could be had for a lot of these teams, and then, you know, Mitchell, I think probably have, but a lot of people would have Mitchell above Zach LaVine at this point in their careers, and rightfully so, but you're giving up more to get him. I don't know, do you have a team in mind? Or did the Hoop Collective chuck a couple names out?
Wendy had a team in his pocket that he wouldn't say.
Oh.
Interesting.
I thought that was a little spicy. He said there's a team from the same division as the Rockets or something like that.
What a weird way to put it.
Yeah, he didn't want to get aggregated. Sorry, you're getting podcasted, buddy. I don't know. I mean, the Nets are going to be in the mix. I mean, even before the Garland and Mobley surgeries and them missing time, people on multiple podcasts are saying the worst kept secret in the NBA is Donovan Mitchell still wants to go to New York, whether it be the Knicks or the Nets. I think the Nets probably is a better fit for Donovan Mitchell. And they have a lot of picks they've acquired that aren't necessarily good picks, and they can't trade their own picks because those have been traded. But they've got players who are helpful that would like fill some holes for the Cavs, certainly, because the Cavs need wings, and the Nets got a whole bunch of wings. So maybe something happens there.
And in Cleveland, it is a little like the Bulls look right now without Zach LaVine. When Donovan Mitchell sits and everything goes through Darius Garland, things look different. Now, obviously, these guys are injured and things aren't going to look good, but they share the ball. There's no doubt. But I don't see the Knicks happening, even though, you know, with Zach LaVine, maybe perhaps because he's a little bit of a bigger player. But Donovan Mitchell, literally the same position as Jalen Brunson. Like, those two guys together. I could see the Lakers happening. I could see it.
Oh, boy.
They would overpay.
Well, the Lakers aren't in the Southwest Division.
Well, I don't know how divisions work.
I know. Yeah, I had to fire it up. I was like, oh, yeah. Okay, so you got the Dallas Mavericks.
No way.
Okay. New Orleans Pelicans? Donovan Mitchell? No way. Okay. What does Wendy know? Houston Rockets, of course, in the division. Memphis Grizzlies at 6-18.
Ooh.
And then your San Antonio Spurs at 4-21.
That could be the one. But they never make
Dono
deals.
Dono and Wemby?
Okay.
Pellies?
Well, something to monitor here.
Must be the Pelicans.
Yeah, it's
it must be. They've got like the assets to do it.
Yeah.
And he would be an upgrade over their backcourt right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
We got you, Wendy. We're the only other people in the world that care about divisions enough to actually seek it out and look at it. All right, those are our losers of the NBA weekend. I'm sure we missed some. You tell us in the stream team. Comment in the comment section there or tweet at us at NoDunkSync. One more break when we come back. Tweet of the night.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day, or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Okay, Trey, let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the night. Wow.
Twitter.
I went too fast for Twitter. That's what happened.
Yeah. Sorry.
It's all good because this is an old picture.
Oh.
But a great new meme. I'm going to describe a meme to you.
Oh, boy. Paint the picture.
Yeah, that's right. This tweet comes to us from Panasonic DX4500. And it's a very old picture of Joel Embiid holding LeBron James when he was still on the Cavs.
Wow.
This picture is so old, but a great meme. LeBron being hugged, captioned, "My true love after I finally gave them 5 gold rings instead of more birds." Embiid hugging back with a devious smile. Me thinking of getting them 6 more birds.
Oh, wow. Wow. Now, this is interesting. I thought we learned recently that the golden rings are, in fact, birds.
Mm. See, that's the joke here, is that you're getting more birds, sucka! But I can't believe this. I was doing meme research today. Apparently, there's illustrations from the 1700s showing that all of the gifts are what they say, and they're not all birds.
Yeah, it's controversial.
No, it's not all birds, not an ad read.
That's right. Brooklyn, and also not Rothy's.
Wow.
So we're talking straight up gifts here, though.
six of the first seven gifts are birds.
Yeah, that's a lot of birds.
There are a lot of birds in there, for sure.
An insane amount of birds. Which gift would you like to get the most, though?
But hold on. Why then? It feels like, honestly, in the last calendar year, this like movement has started that all of them are birds.
It started in 2021.
Oh, okay. So
right.
Oh,
yes, exactly right. Started in 2021, somebody noticed, wow, six of the first seven, those are birds. Wait a second. It turns out they're all birds. The golden pheasant neck.
That's the rings?
That's the rings.
Yeah.
Who knows? We can't go back and ask the original songwriter. But for me, I think Lords of Leaping would be the funniest to get. And just 10 dudes jumping around all the time? No thanks. You get it three times, 30 dudes jumping all over the place? Yeah. Ridiculous. I'm doing nothing.
Give me a gift card.
I do want to see that as a video. I think that'd be a good meme.
That would be a good meme.
Guys jump.
Do you have all of the items listed?
I thought, like, personally.
No. Forget the bird stuff. What are my other options? Because I can never remember. Am I getting eight maids milking?
You are.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. 8 maids of milking, 9 ladies dancing, 10 lords of leaping, 11 pipers piping. That's a thumbs down. 1 too much racket. And 12 drummers drumming.
And, oh, well, I mean, that's loud. That's loud as well. Yeah.
It would be cool. No yeah. If you're at a football game.
Be very
if it's Nick Cannon and the rest of the drum line, sign me up.
Well, say if you were Scottish, you might be pretty into the 11 Pied Pipers.
Sure, yep. Or if you were a rat, I'm sure you would love it.
Oh, yeah, right.
JD, you're wearing your kilt?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
My grandfather and Uncle Al was in, and my Aunt Helen were in what am I trying to say? A bagpipe?
A bagpipe band?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say.
Is that what they're called?
They I must don't know. Yeah. After I said it,
went with the bagpipe band
doesn't sound right.
That's yeah. Squad? Right.
Grizz squad?
Definitely didn't call them squad.
That's right.
They were birds. Everybody played bagpipes.
Well, it's sort of the military, right? So it might be regiment, bagpipe.
Regiment? I mean, we have Scottish roots on that side of the family.
Okay.
Yeah, bagpipes.
Yeah, bagpipe.
Band. Bagpipe band.
Bagpipe band.
Uncle Al on the drums, though. This is the reason I tell the story. That one. Those things.
Yeah. Uncle Al on the drums.
Aunt Helen also on that, I believe, for a little bit, drums. And then Grandpa, my grandpa, the big old one.
Huge drum, bass drum. Boom,
yeah. That's a cool one.
Three drummers drumming. Not a third of the way there.
Every Christmas at the farm, three drummers drumming.
Hmm. So he... Throw it up in the air. I thought you were doing a
spin it. Spin it. It's all flare. Thing.
Spins
boom.
The mallet.
Yeah, you spin it. Boom. Yeah. And then you bang it.
That's cool.
Yeah, I thought you were doing a little.
He's a badass, man.
Cool.
I mean, what the worst instrument to ever walk in a parade with, though?
Yeah,
the thing weighs
a
ton.
Yeah.
It's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Not that cool for me.
But you're making the most impact.
You're making,
like, you're like
he's
driving.
He's a showman. He's a showman. All eyes on this guy coming through here.
Yeah.
I
like that.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's retired. Sounds like he's retired from the squad.
The squad lost a good one today.
Yeah, pipe band, I guess. You don't need bagpipe maybe in there.
Yeah. The bag is inferred. It's silent.
Look at this.
Pipe band?
What are bagpipe bands called? The band. A pipe band.
The band.
The original
pipe
bands.
Corpse. Yeah. The Great Highland Bagpipes.
Nice.
And drummers. Here we go. All right, good stuff. Have you played that song? You got that on the Christmas? I guess it's more of a carol. Like
I've heard it a lot.
Have you?
Yeah, it's on a lot of the playlists out there. It's not on my personal playlist.
No.
It's the most tedious. I can't think of a more tedious Christmas carol.
How many items are there in total in the end? You're getting like 300 something.
Yeah.
A lot of it birds.
Many birds. I would like a pear tree though. I had a pear yesterday. It was so good.
Oh, yeah. Pears I don't need enough pears.
Yeah.
You can get a pear tree here, can't you?
Yeah, probably.
Probably.
Yeah. I'll just call my guys Harry and David. Send over a box of your finest gold-wrapped pears.
Wow. You got them on the line? You can just get them on the line. Wow.
A lot of people go through
the
catalog.
Hell are Harry and David?
Dude, Harry and David, the finest pear purveyors in all the land?
I thought you meant the guys from Home Alone that were like...
Oh, Harry and Marv.
Yeah.
The wet bandits? Make that the sticky bandits.
The pear bandits. Yeah, sticky bandits. That's good. All right. Good meme there in Tweet of the Night.
Great meme.
Good stuff. Hopefully that was a classic here as we get ready for Christmas is a week from today. My goodness. But we're here for most of the week. In fact, we're here all the week because on Friday we got a special edition of Squad. Jerome joined us. We already recorded it, drafting our worst Christmases ever. That is going to be a very fun podcast. That's on Friday, though. But we're here Tuesday through Thursday here. We'll have a drop on Thursday. So join us tomorrow, 10 a.m. Eastern. We can maybe do some All-Star picks. I believe tomorrow is officially the start of voting for the All-Star game. So we could do a way too early All-Star pick, maybe a draft of some sort.
We sure can.
We'll figure it out. And we'll be breaking down all the games on tonight. So join us at 10 a.m. Eastern. Till then, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, there are a lot of Christmas songs. Because I felt like I was being a little shorthanded. I wasn't playing a lot of Christmas songs. Mm-hmm. Then The Athletic shared a Christmas playlist, and Kalakamaka got me back into it. Thank you.
You like that jam?
Yeah, it's catchy. I can't say it.
Oh, I love it. That's good.
I love that. That's a great one. That one is on really my personal one. Playlist.
All right, we're firing it up right all after right. we're done here. Everybody, embrace the day.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.